This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Hello, Boots.
Hello there.
Hey, great. Well, thanks so much for coming on the air. I've been wanting to share some information with listeners here in Guelph about what's going on down there in Brantford. So far, I've just introduced you as a member of Six Nations, and you've been involved in some land reclamations in Brantford with the Hampton Insight and the Kingspan Fiberglass Company. I'm wondering if you can give us some information on what's going on there and introduce listeners to what you've been involved with.
Okay, well, I guess first off, I'll start from the beginning. I've been out there now for 83 days. I started out on July 11th. I've been living in a teepee. I went back to our land to get some use out of it since they stole it off us for over 150 years. Recent developments is the Kingspan, they're still not in operation. The Hampton's gone back in to work for a little while, I guess. But the thing is, what's gone on is that the latest development is that the OPP and Brantford City Police have started a campaign of intimidation against us. Myself, my son, and another young supporter, and two young offenders two young people were arrested and charged with mischief and breach of an injunction. The injunction it's a racist injunction against the Haudenosaunee people. It just says it clearly states against Haudenosaunee people, meaning that it's illegal for us to be brown and to protest.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically out there still battling. The latest one that got arrested was a guy around the same age as myself. His name is Ken Green. We're in court with him today. We're looking to get him out on bail, and well, it's decision's going to be coming down any time now.
Can you? Go for it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you can give listeners who might not have really been following anything at all, really, like not much news reaches up in Guelph, about the kind of actions you're taking, and also like the understanding behind them, like why they're necessary. Can you give listeners a bit of an introduction to the actual, like, you know, facts behind disputed land and what kind of, like, what Kingspan and Brampton is and how they fit into the big picture in Brantford and all that?
Well, the area that's involved right now, the one where I'm at, it's a environmentally sensitive area. They got signs up all over the place, don't they? Got a bike trail that goes through there, and they warn people on one side not to go off the trail because they're stepping into an environmentally sensitive area. The other side of the path, they got a development right there. I looked around the site, right across the road from where my teepee sits now. I seen a golden eagle. That's his habitat. These are rare and endangered wildlife that we're talking about. For me, I don't need any more. But beyond that, this is land that's been stolen from our people. There's been deals made, and they haven't honored them. So we're out there and saying, if we're party to a dispute, then both sides of the dispute has equal rights, and we're asserting our rights, and we're being targeted and trying to be intimidated to say we don't have any rights. I don't understand that. How if there's two parties to a dispute, how only one party has any rights?
Mm-hmm.
This really blows my mind.
Yeah, can you talk a bit about, I guess I'm curious to know a bit more about what kind of things have been going on there. Like, I understand there is the older couple, Ruby and Floyd Montour, who were shutting down development sites, and I'm just curious if you can give listeners a bit of a story of, like, how much of the conflict is going on in Brantford, like, to where it got to the point where the city wanted to call in the army, you know? Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, exactly. See, Floyd and Ruby were going around, and they were stopping things. And I'll tell you the politics that was involved. I didn't fully agree with everything they were doing, because they were telling the developers to go and speak to this HDI. And to me, Haudenosaunee Development Institute's just a sweet way of saying, give me some money and I'll give you permission to destroy my land. And for me, it's never been about money. It's been about the land from the beginning. It's got to be protected because we owe that to the next generations to come, not just of my people, but your people as well. You know, we all got to live in this world, and we don't want to leave it a mess. What Floyd and Ruby were doing, they went like you said, they were going around to the sites and shutting them down, and they issued this injunction. That's the root of this prejudiced injunction that they have out. So anyway, when I seen that, it bugged me. And then when they threatened these old people, they're in their 70s. They threatened them with the army. And being a man, I couldn't just stand there and say, you know, why? How the hell could they do that? Threaten a little old lady. I had to step up and make a stand, and that's when I came out. I've been out since.
And yeah, can you explain? Like you said, you've been living in a teepee on this site that was planned by people, like developers, to be a fiberglass manufacturing facility. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's fiberglass panels. I think they were doing. They're saying that they're going to do some light assembly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's right in the middle of that. It's really a lush green area. And the thing is, what happens is when you get development in an area, it spawns more development because they have to bring infrastructure in order to service that. And then when they bring that infrastructure, then all of a sudden there's the other developers say, well, it's already there. It's going to be cheaper. We can develop more. And pretty soon, all the green space, all the lands that you're looking that need to be protected are destroyed. The waste from these industries that they're putting is going right into our river because it's only about a quarter mile from the river. Hmm. See, there was the latest thing report that I seen. It was about river pollution, and they said that the Grand River is the second worst river in Ontario, just behind the Don River in Toronto.
Wow,
it starts out clean at Fergus. At Paris, they say that it's semi-clean and that there's rare species of fish there because of that. By the time it gets down to Port Maitland, that's where it's the worst river, one of the worst rivers in Ontario. And the thing is that all these places, all those places north of us, are polluting our water, and it's coming down right to the women and the children, and you know it's going to affect. I would say it's going to mutate our people. it worries me because of the disease and sickness that's going to be flowing right down that river.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know the effects of half the chemicals that they're putting in, let alone the effects of the chemicals when they're combined.
Yeah.
It's scary when you think about the mixture of stuff coming down the river and all of a sudden it's just going to be right there on your people, and they're doing this all on your land. I just see it as unjustifiable. It's not something I can really stomach when you stop and think about it, what's going to be left.
Yeah, it made me really sad last time I was down at Six Nations and looking at the Grand River, and these two little girls like warned me, don't go in the water, you'll come out with sores on your body. And I'm thinking, like, upstream of Guelph, you can swim in that water and you can drink it if you really want to.
Yeah.
And it was just really sad to see it like a solid brown color and thinking of how much disregard for life there is. And I'm glad to hear you speaking up for that. I'm wondering if you can maybe talk about... just basically like more of the logistics of what you've been up to since July 11th, like
down
for people.
I guess it started out. My first step was at 3 o'clock in the morning. I packed up my teepee. I never packed up the teepee. I just went with. There was only five of us the first day, the first night when we went in. We just parked across that laneway and said, no, you're not going to go in here. Some of our people came up in support, and they helped us to keep them from going in. And this was on a Friday. There was an agreement made at the end of that day that they took some of their heavy equipment out, and that they were coming to get the rest. They would have it out by Monday. The Monday came, and they were supposed to pick up their concrete forms, and that was it. They went in, they moved their concrete forms, and tried to bring in cement trucks and continue on developing on our land. So there was a couple of individuals, I wasn't involved myself, but there was a couple of individuals that stood right in front of the cement trucks and stopped them. They got grabbed. That was actually the first arrest. There's still a few outstanding warrants, I think, in connection with that one. But at the end of all that, our people came again, and these men, we never made an aggressive move towards them. All we did was gathered, and it was a show of unity. And the men inside, they were so afraid that the workers that they asked to be let out safely, and we had no intention. We heard that, we just laughed. We said, yeah, they can leave. we want them to go ahead, take them out, and the police escorted them out, and then they backed off, and then that's when everything de-escalated that day. And then after that day, the next day, I moved my teepee up towards the Hampton. I sat there for a number of weeks before that I moved ahead.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a bit more about the response you've received in Brantford from the police and from even other people too?
Well, residents of Brantford are not wanting this development as well, because basically the industries that they're trying to bring there, they're bringing like $10 an hour jobs, and nobody can survive on $10 an hour anymore. And these people, and the people that's coming here, they're seeing that all it's going to do is make them have to deal with more population, or social sickness, because with any development or any increase in population comes societal decline, like a decline in the morals. So they just don't. The people, they're just looking at it like they're going to lose a quality of life as well. Like the losses that not just our community, but the community that's living there. It's just the Brantford City Council stuck on this idea that they have to develop, and they have to move ahead. I'm just wondering why is it they can't be content and try to beautify, and enjoy what they have, because the land in and around our around the territory is very beautiful. And you know what, the citizens of Brantford, I think them, citizens of fucking any community up and down that Grand River would appreciate to have those green spaces protected and access to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, so that they could mm-hmm. enjoy them.
Yeah.
Because in the future, where the rest of Ontario is on the same track, in the future those areas are going to become precious.
Mm-hmm.
If you have that green space in your town, it's gonna be the greatest benefit to all your people.
It's
because
true.
Because other places actually will be coming to your place just to enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like imagine that a day when you look around and straight up and down the Grand River, it's all just like Toronto, from Toronto to Mississauga. Think about that, what it's going to mean in the context of that, and how much those people of the future are going to enjoy that green space that could be available to them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Boots, we only got a few minutes left, like maybe 2 or 3 minutes left. I'm curious to know if you can let listeners know, like people up here in Guelph, what they can do in support of you, or if you need any kind of material assistance or any kind of help, or even broader, any suggestions on your part.
Well, I would welcome anybody to come on down and talk. We're in the process right now. These latest developments with the latest arrests and everything, we're working together in the community. We got to have a few meetings on what direction we're going to take to confront these things that are happening because of the intimidation. And that, stand up for your rights, miss. Assert your rights. You shouldn't be subject to any intimidation. But for now, if they wanted to stop by and just you know, even if they wanted to stay for a day or so, that would be great. And then they could find out more about the issue and take it back to Guelph.
Mm-hmm. Are you? Yeah. How can people get in touch with you? Do you want to give out your phone number, or do you want?
Yeah, go ahead. You got it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll share that after the interview. Yeah, Boots, thanks so much for talking with us. I really appreciate you sharing it and doing what you're doing. Okay, have a good day.
I appreciate it.
Right on, Boots. Bye for now.